Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's been a while, hasn't it? I feel like it's been some time since we have spoken to you. And we're here on a beautiful, hot afternoon here at beautiful Belle Isle, well named, this weekend, just out of the shadow of downtown Detroit, Michigan, as we are on the streets as IMSA makes its return after the long layoff. It seems like forever since we were at Mid-Ohio. My name's John Hindorf. It's IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together in the shadow of the corporate headquarters of General Motors, the Renaissance Center, the Rensen. And, well, it's been already a very eventful day. We're at the raceway at Belle Isle Park, a temporary race circuit, but nonetheless challenging for that. 13 corners, just over 2.25 miles around. Got extended a few years ago down towards turn three, so there's a little more opportunity to get the speed up and then make the overtake into that right-hander. Out of turn six, really important, because then you run down the side of the river to turn seven before your next opportunity to overtake. Then the wiggly bit round the fountain, and then back round in front of our commentary position, that kink just before the start-finish line where the cars come directly towards us and we always want to duck before we complete the lap. Let's have a look at what happened in practice two. Earlier on today, as I said, it has been eventful, and the big story was that of a couple of incidents. Shea Adam with me, along with Jeremy Shaw as well, non-stop incident and accident as well. Let's start at the beginning with a heck of a lot of hard work for Paul Miller Racing, who've had to replace an engine. They've done that with an hour taking off their best time. We've had an issue, Shea Adam, for a number of other cars, as we saw just there.
Yes, and to start things off, as you rightly mentioned, Paul Miller Racing with their Lamborghini, 5.5 hours between the engine needing to come out of the car and a new engine in, but Madison Snow is sitting in the pit lane with the Lamborghini ready to go out. Got to give a shout out, Richie, Justin, Garrett, Brooksy, Kevin, Eric, Kyle, Wayne, and Tom are the boys who were working on this car to get it ready for the qualifying session. It was a lot of work. They're hot and sweaty, but the car is ready to go out in qualifying, and it should be quick. It was fast in the first practice session before the engine gave out. We did have issue for a couple other cars that we were able to see on the video. The Allegra Motorsport car, Michael De Quesada, has turned more laps this weekend than any other driver at 52 between the two practice sessions, but got into the tires on a couple of different occasions. The car is repaired and ready to go for the qualifying session. And the other big story that we are still working on, the Gradient Racing Acura. That car, not currently in its pit box. I think I might have just seen headlights starting out from behind the wall. Have to keep an eye on that. That car, Till Bechtelsheimer behind the wheel, he felt something let go in the rear of the car. Control arm, bodywork, and diffuser on the rear right of the car was the initial issue, but then it became something within the wing as well. So that car, it did clip the wall, but something broke before Till got into the wall. And Till is a rookie to the streets of Belle Isle, but he does have experience on street courses, John. He's raced historic race cars around a much tighter track called Monaco.
Yes, very good point. Also with issues earlier on the Sun Energy One, Kenny Abul and Mikhail Grenier car, they had some issues as well. into the wall. A few people making contact with the wall. Also, the number 55 Mazda Motorsport, Ollie Jarvis and Harry Tinknell together this weekend. I'll be working with Ollie Jarvis next weekend, actually, at an event we're going to try and get some audio out of for IMSA Radio and the Radio Show Limited network of channels as we celebrate the anniversary of the Mazda victory at Le Mans next weekend. And obviously, Ollie, a Mazda Motorsports driver. And finally, the number 60 Meyer Shank Racing with Kerb Anagyanian. Congratulations to Meyer Shank Racing. Sports car team wins Indianapolis 500. And I know that the IndyCar teams are there this weekend at Belle Isle, but it was one of our own that won the big race for the IndyCar single-seater championship this year. So congrats to MSR. Jeremy Shaw is with me in the... Oh, and looks like the Gradient car is back out as well. So brilliant work from both teams that had the big problems earlier on to get those cars out. And Till then gets to go out and qualify. Jeremy Shaw, first of all, brilliant work by Mike Shank Racing and the rest of Meyer Shank Racing in their other programme, the single-seater programme for the Indy 500. Now it's back to their day jobs, effectively.
Yeah. I mean, it's two separate. It's effectively two separate teams. But of course, you know, there is some crossover with Michael, particularly and Jim Mayer, of course. But yeah, that was a brilliant, brilliant race, wasn't it? Fantastic event all the way around. And Elio was on a charge right from the beginning of that race. It was super to see. Such a character, great for the sport. I mean, just. It couldn't have been a better result for the sport of auto racing, I think. It was wonderful to see.
And Elio Castroneves, remarkably, Jeremy, becoming the first driver ever to win the Rolex Daytona 24 and the Indy 500, both overalls, obviously, in the same season. That's another great tick on Elio's CV.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before the race, didn't we? He's lost absolutely none of his enthusiasm, as Elio, and he's lost none of his talent either. I mean, look, I always say... You know, a driver, he doesn't get to his peak till he's around 40 in terms of, you know, if you add all the aspects of being a racing driver together. So, you know, he's not much more than that, but he acts like he's half that age. Just brilliant.
I was talking about the extension to the track a few years ago. It's been extended again more recently, Jeremy, here well, at Belle Isle. It's an extension to the extension.
No, sort of, kind of. The original layout was run here from 1992 when the event, the Grand Prix of Detroit, moved from a downtown street circuit, went around the Renaissance Centre. It was a brilliant track. That was absolutely fantastic. Saw the F1 cars around there, and it was something to behold. Ayrton Senna in particular in the Lotus Turbo was just mega to watch around there. I digress. So they moved here to the track on the Belle Isle in 92. And in 98 season, they extended it to the track we're actually using now. But the event disappeared from the calendar after the 2001 season. It returned in 2007 and 8, but only on the shorter layout. And then it went away again. It came back in 2012, again on the shorter layout. And then the following year, 2013, since when this race has been run every year until last year, of course, because of the pandemic, on the track we're running right now. And it's a tremendous track, this one. It's 2.3 miles. It's a great challenge. And it's a lot better than the original circuit, primarily because... where the cars come out of the turn one and two are sweeping right and left and over the creek there. There's now, it used to be a fairly short straight until they turned right and went through the park. Now they've gone much longer straight. So now, because of much better and clearer overtaking opportunity to
totally
turn
agree.
Three, the wobbling go through there now. And there's also some runoff area at that corner as well. So it kind of promotes the idea of trying to make a pass down there. So it's a great track. It's bumpy for sure, but it's a challenge that all of the drivers and the teams pretty much enjoy.
Wherever you are around the world, IMSA Radio on TV together. No blocks, no breaks for this session. And IMSA Radio, of course, never with any blocks on our audio. If you're in the US tomorrow, NBC SN will have the race. Everywhere outside of the US that doesn't have a terrestrial on network TV deal, then imsaradio.com, click the live radio button. We have no breaks for you. We'll have the whole of the 100 minutes live. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at imsaradio.com, we'll get you into the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, which is where we are right now on what is pretty much a perfect afternoon. 27 degrees Celsius on the track, 24 in the air, a sticky 76 in terms of the humidity at the moment. And I have to say that tomorrow's weather forecast looks a bit eek, to be honest. We know how quickly the thunderstorms can blow up around here. Stay tuned. We'll be with you throughout the day tomorrow for that 100-minute race for our contest here on the streets, the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix here at the Belle Isle Street Course in Detroit, Michigan. Let's take a look at some of the times as they are coming in. This is a new qualifying situation for GT Daytona. I should also mention as well, of course, that this round of GT Daytona this weekend is only for the sprint category over the year. We have a Michelin North American Endurance Challenge for the longer races. We have a full season and we have the shorter races as well. And so that shit, Adam, is why we don't have some of the more familiar cars here this weekend.
Yes, very good point, John. We are missing two Porsches, one in the Pfaff plaid livery, one in the Wright Motorsport, the blue and white and black that we've come to know and love. And also Magnus Racing, not here this weekend. They're running under Archangel this year. But Andy Lally breaking his streak of 80 consecutive GTD races. And by the way, there have been 80 GTD races. Andy Lally has taken part in each and every one of them. But this weekend, we do have 12 cars, sprint only. That means that the qualifying session right now, which sets the grid position, the qualifying session that comes after is for points, and that is still relevant because this is for the sprint championship. So that does still play into effect. But to give you an idea of the times, the qualifying lap record was 1 minute and 28.942. That was set by Brian Sellers a couple of years ago. The fastest time we've seen today has been a 1 minute and 30.495. That was Jack Hawksworth. But from who's out right now, we need to keep an eye on Robbie Foley. He has been very close, if not ahead of the times of Bill Oberlin so far today. As always, Aaron Tielitz, this is his first time racing on the streets of Detroit, but he has been right there with the Hawk. And who is the other one? Oh, yeah, Richard Highstand. So defending race winner, he won it in 2019 in the Lexus. He has been very, very fast, but this time in the Carbon Audi. So keep an eye on those three drivers in particular. They have already proven today to be very rapid.
Little moment for Michael DiCasada in the number 28 Allegra Motorsport Mercedes. They had a wee moment earlier in the day and just grazed the wall coming out of turn 12 and 13 area. We've all done it on the simulations, haven't we? Come on, put your hand up. If you haven't done it, I don't believe you if you tell me you haven't done that. if you haven't done that on the sims. He's managed to survive and comes through to complete a lap with 6.5 minutes to go. It's Aaron Tielitz who's got the quickest time in the Lexus RCF GT3 for Vassar Sullivan. His teammate Frank Moncalvo. So 14 from 12. They're about a tenth apart on a 130.8 and 130.9. Then another couple of tenths back, Robbie Foley for Turner Motorsport. Something new coming down the pipe, as David Wilson was telling us on Midweek Motorsport. A new GT product for Lexus. Not too far away, but wouldn't be led on that. Unfinished business, he described GT racing around the world, and particularly in IMSA. So expect to see some news from that set of companies, Toyota and Lexus, with the GTDP technical and sporting regulations released in the week. which means that the cars next year for the Pro category will be the same as what we're watching now. They will run the same Michelin tyre compound, but IMSA are reserving the right to have a different balance of performance for the Pro category. And of course, they'll have to do that because the GT Le Mans Corvette is going to run in that category. And it's, of course, not a GT3 spec car. And Corvette not building a GT3 spec car. Was sort of expecting, after a couple of false starts, that Corvette might have announced something, or GM rather, might have announced something this weekend about their LMDH program going further forward. That is now not going to happen. There's nothing in the schedule for that. And so we'll have to wait a wee bit longer to find out what brand it is that GM choose to use in LMDH. Take your pick. Roll the dice. Corvette or Cadillac. Corvette. Meantime, there's been a problem, Jeremy Shaw, for the number 14 RCF Lexus coming out of that 1-2 area.
Indeed so. We're actually watching the car. The two Lexuses are together on the track, well, separated by maybe 100 yards or so, a couple of hundred yards probably, but we were kind of focused on the number 12 car, which is coming down toward turn three. You can see in the background, Aaron Teel has just got the car got a little bit loose on the exit. Well, over that creek, there's a bridge. It's a bridge, effectively, over the creek. And it's not a big humpback bridge or anything like that, but it's certainly a change of surface there. And it's a really tricky place. We often see cars getting a little bit sideways there. It did for Aaron Teel. It's clipped the right rear corner of that car, broke the suspension quite clearly, and he's limping that car back to the pit. So it won't be a pole position for Aaron Teel.
It certainly will not. Hello to Alan Prosser, king of the screen grab. He said a little bit earlier on, you could actually hear the Turner Motorsport 96 BMW understeering. You're not wrong there. And hello to Sarah Rigby, Aston Martin fan, cheering on Roman De Angelis in the Heart of Racing Aston Martin Vantage. Fans tuned in to the action on the streets of Belle Isle from around the world as IMSA Radio and IMSA TV are together live in sound and vision wherever you are around the world. No blocks, no breaks for this quali session, and nobody asking you for any money. That's unusual in this day and age, isn't it? Just under 3 minutes to go. Richard Highstand to the top with the Audi R8 LMS GT3. 147 of those cars have been built to date. That's one more than the previous version of that car. Isn't that extraordinary? 300 Audi R8 GT3s in the world. And Car Barn at the top of the times at the moment.
Yeah, that's been impressive by Richard Highstand. And he and Jeff Westfall, that's the only car in this race that which both of its drivers have won here on the streets of Detroit. Because Jeff Westfall wasn't mentioned in the team's press release, oddly, but Jeff Westfall, in fact, won here on the streets with Alessandro Balzan back in 2014 in the Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. So Westfall and Highstand, two former winners here. Highstand quickest again. Now he was right up at the sharp end in both of the practice sessions as well. This is going to be another really good race. They made their debut in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Mid-Ohio, the first round of the WeatherTech Sprint Cup last time out last month, but they're really stepping up, and that's a really top line organization there. And clearly, after various sort of stop starts for Audi in GTD over the last few years in North America, that's a really good looking program right now.
Thank you very much to our technical team, who are spread between Trackside and NASCAR Productions at Charlotte, and particularly to Roger Vincent, who's cutting the pictures so that we can see all the way around the Belle Isle circuit, and those of you further afield can see as well. A minute to go. Highstand, Monte Calvo, Robbie Fawley in third. So Audi, Lexus, BMW, your top three, separated by all of 3/10 of a second. Then, and a change for an improvement, Jeremy, for the top rated car. And Roman De Angelis goes into second place. Highstand now with a 130.5 and he needed that because Roman De Angelis has just put in a 30.6 for the front row for Heart of Racing Team. Super job by both of those guys.
Yeah, very impressive. And Frankie Montecalvo, he was looking to kind of pick up the slack from where Antilets left off. He was up into second place, but as you say, Roman De Angelis into second place at the moment. That would be the best qualifying run for the Aston Martin to date, which has had a really fine string of results for that team. But if they can qualify up front as well as the checkered flag comes out on this session, that would be another feather in its cap.
So Jeremy Shaw, Shea, Adam and John Heindorf in the Global Broadcast booth, the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Brilliant work. Checker is out. You can work the lap and finish the lap that you are on at the moment. Outside of row two at the moment, Robbie Foley, Audi, Aston, Lexus, BMW, four manufacturers in the top four. Aaron Tillett is in the pits. Then it's the Lamborghini, Madison Snow, outside of row three with the engine swap on the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan. Marvellous stuff for him. Then Kingsley for Compass Racing's Acura NSX, the number 76. Until Bechtelsheimer goes up to eighth position. Again, a car that had a lot of work. The Gradient Racing team doing a cracking job. So an all-accurate fourth row of the grid for the number 76 and 66. Then it's Michael Di Casada who flirted with the wall. Maybe a little bit more than that. There was a little bit of touching, not just flirting, went on there. All in the best possible taste for that Mercedes number 28. And he shares that row with Kenny Abul for Sun Energy One. That's another Gradient-operated car, the Mercedes number 75. Then Rob Ferriola, Misha Goikberg bringing up row number 6. Let's just see everybody across the line. I think we're all done and dusted. Yes, we are, in terms of who's seen the checkered flag. One or two battle scars, Jeremy, but that was a very good run at the front of the field in particular, with Frankie Montecalvo right at the end getting back onto the front row just under a tenth of a second. But it's all front-engine cars. Oh, no, it's not. Mid-engine car leads, then four front-engine cars behind it. Audi, Lexus, Aston and BMW, your top four, Jeremy.
Yeah, great effort there by Frankie Montecalvo just to get within 0.088 of a second of Richard Heistand. Fine effort by Montecalvo. Roman De Angelis on that last lap in the Aston Martin, he came within 0.009 of a second of his previous best, but he wasn't able to improve. And as a result of that, he's going to have to settle for third position on the grid. Good effort there by Madison Snow, interestingly, came into the pits on that final lap. He didn't do that final lap. He clearly decided the previous lap was his best, or he made a mistake going into that that what would have been the final lap, because he hadn't taken the checkered flag. That car, of course, has had a lot of success here in the past, been on the podium twice in 17 and 18, and finished fifth here in 19 as well. So that car should be fast in the race. Good comeback for them. But as you say, yeah, good effort there by Till Bechtelsheimer, because he only did six laps in that second session this afternoon before clipping the wall with that problem. So to come back there with a minimal amount of laps around here, that's an excellent effort by Bechtelsheimer.
It's not going to be a very happy camp down in Lexus, though, because for that 14 car, they are the defending sprint champions. Aaron Tielitz and Jack Hawksworth taking home that title in 2020. But that car went back behind the wall with the broken suspension that we saw from when Tielitz kissed the wall. That means that the 14 Lexus will not be taking place. They won't be taking part in the points qualifying, which means that they will not be taking any points out of that qualifying session, which means that they stay in 13th in the GTD Sprint Championship coming into this race. They had the opportunity today with qualifying. Even if they got last place points, they would have vaulted ahead of two cars that are not here this weekend. So that at least would have moved them out of last. But as it is right now, that 14 Lexus, they're going to need a lot of help in the race tomorrow. Good thing that, in theory, they start fifth. Let's see if that's where they actually take the green flag from.
Shea, Adam and Jeremy Shaw with me, John Heindorf in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. We are in the middle of GT Daytona qualifying. Now, the grid is set at this point. We've done the grid part. What we do now is take out the non-pro drivers and put the pro drivers in. Now, why do we do that? That's because we are trying to get everybody to come out and give of their best. And so there's points at stake here. Grid positions for the start of the race we've set. Points up for grabs coming up in the next 15-minute session. So the driver who has just been in the car gets out, goes for a lie down and a rub down with probably some warm halibut oil. Actually, possibly cool halibut oil on a day like today. Probably a bit of rehydration as well. And the team re-prep the car and decide whether they want to use another set of Michelin tyres. It's hot. It's steamy. It's Michigan in June. I'm hearing Kid Rock playing in my head right now. Absolutely right now. Normally get to see a few Canada geese. It's not quite the time of year for that, but plenty of waterfowl around Belle Isle at the moment. Eminem, excuse me. No, it was Kid Rock. It wasn't Eminem who did the song I'm thinking about. KD, you are confusing me. All Summer Long was the song I was thinking about, which used the riff from something else. The riff from Sweet Home Alabama, wasn't it? Of course, I should know that as a sometime guitar player. I'm very poor picker myself. Keith D'Alessandro and the rest of the team on site, thank you very much for all your hard work today and for allowing us to see what is going on. Still to come, we have got the points paying qualifying and we've got GT Daytona as well, with Corvette on the streets of Detroit for the first time, Shea Adam. Normally they'd be at Le Mans this time of year for test weekend, but no Le Mans till August. So we get the bow tie back on the streets.
Corvette comes home. And how about this? Two of the Corvette drivers turning their first ever laps around the track in anger in that first practice session this morning. Antonio Garcia and Nick Tandy have never raced here before. And Nick Tandy is getting the opportunity to go out and qualify. That would be the silver four car. It is going to be Jordan Taylor, though, I've reliably been informed, qualifying the number three. And there has been a Taylor on every podium at Belle Isle, well, at the podium every year at Belle Isle since 2015. Thankfully, that streak, assuming that they take the start of the race, will continue tomorrow afternoon. And Nick Tandy, speaking of streaks, has an opportunity today because he could, in theory, become the first GTLM driver to get pole position for two different manufacturers. We've had drivers in GTLM who have gotten it and who've also gotten it in other categories, but Nick has that distinction, and where better to get his first pole position for the bow tie than in their backyard. In GTD, though, the other drivers going out, we're going to see Brian Sellers in that number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. It will be, and this is important, Townsend Bell in the number 12 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. That's important because normally the co-driver is Zach Veach, but Zach unable to participate in the race this weekend due to illness means that T-Bell is stepping back into that seat that he has held for a very long time. It would have been Jack Hawksworth in the 14 Lexus, but we're not going to see that car. Marco Mappelli in the 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini. Marco making his debut on an American race course outside of the Daytona 24 Hours for Grasser this weekend. It's going to be Ross Gunn, the affable Brit, in the Aston Martin for Heart of Racing. Daniel Morad in the 28 Allegra Racing Mercedes. The pole sitting car, and it is the pole sitting car, we're going for points now, remember, will be Jeff Westfall for the 39 Carbon Audi. We've got Mark Miller, the only driver from Michigan in the race this weekend, is aboard the 66 Gradient Racing Acura. Mikhail Grenier, fresh off a win last weekend out at VIR, is going to be doing the honors for the Sun Energy One Mercedes. Mario Farnbacher, step back from the fences, ladies and gentlemen. Compass Racing Acura, Mario Farnbacher. Mario loves this place, and he knows how to get to the podium. He knows how to go quickly, and he probably will do that again in this session. Cat Leg in the 88 Porsche for Hardpoint. She's won this race twice in her career. And then finally, last but certainly not least, it is the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Power, Bill Oberlin, aboard the 96 for Turner Motorsports.
No championship points for Corvette here, but they've taken the opportunity to launch the IMSA Championship editions of the C8R. Now, I know there are plenty of GM people who are listening right now. We are getting C8Rs with the steering wheel on the right-hand side in the UK later on this year. The launch edition is very competitively priced. Yes, I want one, but I want to have the IMSA. If I'm going to have one, I'm going to have the Championship Edition package on it. And at the moment, I'm not seeing that on the right-hand drive. So, guys, come on. Fix it up. I need that lovely grey colour, the Hyperdrive grey colour. That's what needs to be on my drive later on this year in the IMSA Championship. Colours, it's adrenaline yellow, isn't it? The bright yellow, new colours for the C8R and launched earlier on this weekend here at Belle Isle. How appropriate. Nick Tandy, by the way, saying to me earlier in the week, it's not often nowadays that as a pro driver with so much experience, he gets to go to a new circuit, but he is this weekend. And by the way, congratulations on 15 years of JTR, Joe Tandy Racing. Celebrating that this weekend as they get to work in the Porsche Carrera Cup GB at Snetterton in Norfolk. Not a million miles from Hindhoff Towers, actually one of the myriad of race circuits that I could throw a lug nut to from home. Congratulations to JTR and all of the team. They've had some very, very impressive drivers through their hands down through the years, including Joseph Newgarden, who of course is racing here this weekend. Shadam, go ahead.
Would it be considered trolling if you were to get the silver C8 and put stickers on it so that it showed the number 4 with the yellow stripe down the middle and then just go drive it by Nick Tandy's house every day?
Can't. I couldn't possibly comment on that. You know, I can't get the yellow one for that, absolutely for that reason. Because if I get the yellow one, Tandy will think that it's all about him, you know. And that I absolutely, absolutely can't do. Great to see the bow ties out on the streets. The Cadillacs have been here down through the years, upholding the General Motors and flying the General Motors flag. And there's always a good turnout of bow ties for Chevrolet and GM. Hello to Ray Wenzel Jr., by the way. Ray, turn one camera this weekend. Thank you to all of our camera operators who, as well as our corner workers, the marshals, are out there in all of the weather that gets thrown at them every race weekend. And total pros, all of them, whether they're waving flags, standing behind a camera, working on the medical or doing cleanup. Thank you all. Most important jobs that all of our trackside colleagues are doing this weekend. So Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter this weekend, Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. And Corvette number 3 out on the track at the moment for Jordan Taylor. Nick Tandy in the number 4. Great to hear. That's mid-engines C8. Down the back of the circuit with the river on the left-hand side, breaking down over the bump into turn 7 and then turning in. Nothing ahead other than the number 66 of Mark Miller, but that's a wee ways away. Ahead of him is Mario Farnbacher in the Compass racing car. And in fact, it looks to me, Jeremy, as though Jordan has just backed out of it a little bit to get a little bit more room between himself and Mark Miller as he comes through towards the end of the lap.
Yeah, quite likely. The it's interesting though that, you know, the GTLM cars, you know, they're only a couple of seconds quicker than the GTDs around here. It's interesting. You talked about the fact that this is the first time the Corvette's, this Corvette has been here. It's the first time that GTLM has actually raced on this circuit in the Vertex Sports Car Championship days. The last time Corvette Racing was here on the streets was back in the ALMS days, back in 2007 and 2008. And back then, that was one of the years when they ran the shorter circuit. So there's a lot of learning for Corvette Racing here this weekend. But it's just it's a demonstration run of what it is. There's no championship points for anything. GTD, at least they're counting for championship points in the Sprint Cup, if not the overall championship. So, but for GTLMs, I'm not going to count any of these in my stats, that's for sure. Because it's effectively, it's an exhibition class. It's not, there's no championship points for anything for them. So I think that's reasonable.
And that is down to the fact, of course, that the WeatherTech Porsche, which is the only other full season entry in GT Le Mans, isn't here and wasn't planning to come here. And in fact, if I'm right, Shea, the lead driver for that is the we're doing Ferrari Challenge this weekend, yeah?
Yes, Cooper McNeil is currently down in Homestead at the Homestead Miami Speedway. That qualifying session begins in about 2 hours' time, so Cooper should be watching us. No excuses for not tuning in, Coop. And their first race is at night tonight, so that's going to be one way to deal with the heat and humidity. But the next two rounds of Ferrari Challenge are conflicts with the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in the GT Le Mans category in points-paying class situations. So it presents a bit of a conflict for Cooper for those races coming up.
The thrum of the AMG Mercedes engine for the number 75. That is the Sun Energy 1. You can't miss that one with its flames. Mikhail Grenier with Kenny Abul this weekend. Mikhail at the wheel of that car, not too far away from home with Canada. Not too far away. This always messes up my gyros when I'm here because we look south to Canada. How can that possibly work? It's because I'm not a homing pigeon. Ross Gunn has gone to the top for the Aston Martin Vantage GT3 Heart of Racing team ahead of Grenier in second. Then Cat Leg for Team Hardpoint Porsche. Then T-Bell, the NBC commentator. Oh no, he's just dropped down to fifth place. Mario Fangbacher has just got up to third, then Cat Leg, then T-Bell for Vasa Sullivan. And then in sixth place, Jeff Westphal, as Corvette goes to the top in its own class, of course. That doesn't change the GTD points scoring. Good run for, well, and T-Bell now remembers what it's like to be a racing driver and goes to the top. Lexus RCF GT3. Can't only talk about it, but can do it as well. And the 12 goes to the top with a 130.008, Jeremy. That's an impressive time from Townsend Bell.
Well, it certainly is. In this morning's session, the Lexuses were top and tail on the session, I think. At least they were for a goodly part of it, with the number 12 car at the back and the 14 at the front. But that was a really fine effort by Townsend Bell to go there the quickest lap of the weekend so far, because he's just been actually eclipsed by Ross Gunn again. Those two going back and forth now. Ross Gunn, the first.
And is this another wall strike for an AMG? Yes, it is. And this is the 28 again, but this time it's round the back of the fountain. Turns 8, 9 and 10, and that's another wall strike through. So that's now both sides of that AMG number 28 that has taken a wee bit of a love tap earlier on in the session. In the previous session, it was the left hand side, that was the right hand side, just evening things up there, Shea.
Yeah, well, and remember also as well, John, that this car had a massive shunt at the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring that actually resulted in the car that we're seeing right now is a different chassis. So this Mercedes ran at Mid-Ohio, but the team has already had significant damage to the car this year, and they would really like to be able to roll it back into the truck at the end of the weekend. Dana Morat, though, pushing very hard. And he is one of those guys who is very, very good on a simulator. As a matter of fact, he's factory Mercedes for their simulator program. And he has done many laps around this place north of Canada for the Canadian. But a racetrack when you can go get Timbits in the morning is a racetrack that Daniel Morad really likes.
Gotta love the thrum of that V8 engine. And my goodness me, getting airborne coming over. Jeremy, you said it wasn't like a humpback bridge. Nobody's told the GT Daytona guys there. They are literally flying all four Michelins off the ground there, coming out of turn number two and really pushing into the limit, because once you're off the ground, it's all about how you land and which way the momentum's going. This is impressive stuff at the front of the field.
Great to watch, isn't it? And he's being fair to the car. The one side's been dinged, so get the other side dinged as well, and hopefully it'll get the car straight again. It might not be completely straight, but interesting approach to this event by the Allegro Racing team. Meanwhile, Mario Farnbacher has gone fastest now in GTD for Compass Racing. That's the Acura car number 76, 129.871. Qualifying time, by the way, last time they were here, 2019, the fastest time was set by Zach Robichon in the Porsche, 129.7. So we're still a tenth of a second away from that, but it is pretty, pretty warm this afternoon.
Yeah, listen to this though. At the top of GT Daytona in the Sprint Cup, in the WeatherTech Sprint Cup, Acura from in second, Aston Martin from Lexus RCF, from Audi, from Mercedes, from Porsche, from Mercedes. So what's that? The top six are all different manufacturers as it stands at the moment, and they are separated by, a tenth of a second. So that is very interesting indeed. And just what we expect in GT Daytona, Jeremy.
Yeah, just a little bit under four-tenths of a second covering the top six. And as you say, but six different manufacturers, that is so cool to see. Jordan Taylor goes fastest again, so that Corvette battle continues. Now it's Nick Tandy. Jordan Taylor briefly went to the top there with a 127.606. Now Nick Tandy, he's sliced away another couple and a half tenths of a second, 127.3 for Nick Tandy. So that's a good little battle going on there between those two, but no championship points there. It's this tremendous battle in GTD. Mario Farnbacher remains out on the racetrack in the Compass Acura. Three cars behind him currently: Ross Gunn in the Aston Martin number 12, Lexus of Townsville, and Jeff Westphal at Carbon Audi. They're in the pit lane.
So into the last 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And Nick Tandy goes back to the top with a 27.362. Heads round the far side of the circuit in the battle of the vets. The four leads the three, but it's Farnbacher where the points count. It's Compass from Heart of Racing Team, from Vasa Sullivan, from Carbon, from Team Hardpoint. Catherine Legg still running, and the three cars ahead have pitted. Farnbacher is still out there. Also in the pits, Grenier and Morad for Sun Energy One and Allegra Motorsport in 7th and 8th position.
All the cars on track are currently in Sector 1. There could be only six cars on track, and they have to all be tethered together, don't they?
Oh, yes, of course. It's what we called clumping, isn't it? Yes. Tandy goes through again and improves again to a 27.2. Farnbacher's pole time is a 29.8 for GT Daytona. Hasn't got all of the fastest sectors. In fact, has no fastest sectors. Ross Gunn has the best middle sector. Jeff Westphal has the best third sector. And Daniel Morad has the best first sector. The sectors here actually are almost, Jeremy, thirds of the track in terms of time. They're around about 29, 27, 28, 29, up to 33 seconds. It's actually quite a well-balanced three-sector track here at Belle Isle.
Yeah, it is, but they also quite distinct. Well, the first sector is a fairly distinct. That's got the longest straightaway.
Correct.
Here on Belle Isle. Although the strand, which leads from turn six all the way down to turn seven, it's kind of sweeps left and right, and it's pretty straight. It's absolutely flat out through there. They widened it over the years. It used to be much, much narrower and much bumpier, in fact. So three different sectors there. It's always interesting to see, isn't it, how the cars compare in the different sectors.
Yeah, and every time I see a car going down the far side of the circuit with the river on the left-hand side, I think to myself, it's time to go and rent a jet ski and take the rest of the afternoon off. The checkered flag is out, and Nick Tandy sees it first as he comes across the line right now. And Jordan Taylor will follow him through. It will be Tandy on a 27-2, not any quicker on that last lap as he heads into the first couple of corners. And as far as GTD is concerned, the top nine are all in the pits. Brian Sellers finishing his lap. Daniel Morad finishing his as well. He's in seventh at the moment. Morad goes through and does not improve. Westfall was still out there as well, but I think coming into the pits there. Now, yeah, a lot of people peeling off into the pits. Let's see, Brian Sellers, 130.485 for his last lap in the number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Remember, that car had a brand new engine fitted in between FP2 and this qualifying session. A whole hour taking off their best time in the past to change an engine in race conditions. Jordan Taylor comes into the pits, so will not challenge Nick Tandy in that Corvette category. 0.3 of a second. Corvette 1 and 2 in GTLM, and Nick Tandy doing very nicely, thank you very much, for his first appearance at this circuit. He'll be well pleased with that. So it is Acura and Aston Martin on the front row, subject, of course, to post-qualifying technical inspection scrutineering, as our European listeners would understand it. As the time ticks on this afternoon under beautifully clear skies on row number two, Townsend Bell. Oh, sorry, the rows have been set, but these are the scores for the championship. So top championship points in qualifying going to Compass and Aston Martin Vantage Heart of Racing team. Then Vassar Silva will pick up third place point. Carbon with Peregrine for Audi pick up fourth. Catherine Legg for fifth. And Sun Energy One Mercedes in that number 75, or with that number 75 for Mikhail Grenier in that AMG GT3. Already behind the wall, the number 28, Daniel Morad, Allegra Motorsports car. They've balanced that one up, Jeremy, because both drivers have had a... sorry, no, it was the Sun... no, it was Allegra, wasn't it? That had both sides of the cars just grazed a little bit on that AMG GT3. Right-hand side, second, and earlier on in the session... we saw. So there's going to be a little bit of bodywork that needs just rubbing out a little. But I do think that will rub out. It didn't derange the suspension at all on that 28 Allegra AMG GT3.
Didn't seem to have done it. Certainly turned some pretty good races, some pretty good lap times out there. But I'm sure we couldn't have done it an awful lot of good there by bouncing off both walls. But you know, that's what it takes here at Belle Isle, because it's a challenging racetrack, and you have to challenge the limits to set the best lap times. So that's exactly what he was doing, and he'll be a bit disappointed with seventh on the grid. But look, it's so close out there right now. He's just over half a second off the fastest time in the class, And he's what, just about a tenth of a second or so behind Mikko Grenier, the two Canadians there, Mikko Grenier in the number 75 Sun Energy one. Great to see that car back again, by the way.
Yes.
We thought they were perhaps doing just the longer distance races, or certainly Daytona, but super to see that car back again. It does look great, doesn't it? There's two Canadians there with Daniel Morad. He'll be a little bit frustrated, I think, to be behind his countrymen. Those two in sixth and seventh on, well, no, sixth and seventh in the
points.
Times.
Yes, that's the same thing.
I hate this. Hate it.
Yes, I did exactly the same thing. So the post-qualifying folderol is going on at the end of pit lane. But we are not finished. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Not at all. We are not finished at all because we have the six DPIs ready to go from Cadillac, from Acura and from Mazda. These will be the quickest cars that we'll have on the Belle Isle streets for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Chevrolet Sports Car Classic this weekend, at least in qualifying spec. Who knows what will happen in the race tomorrow. And Shea Adam has the qualifying drivers in this VP Racing pit and paddock report.
Well, remember how I said a few minutes ago Super Mario is in the 76 Compass Racing Acura and you might want to take a step back from the fences? Pippo Durrani is in the 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac. And 2 years ago, no, 3 years ago now, gosh, 2018, Pippo Durrani put the ESM Honda on the pole position. He knows how to go quickly around this track. Unfortunately, it was a steering wheel issue very early on that took him out of the running of that one. So Pippo looking for a bit of redemption. Ricky Taylor is currently aboard the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura, looking to try and keep Wayne Taylor Racing's streak of phenomenal results at this track alive. They've gotten 1, 2, 3 wins out of the last 6 years, so a very good showing. That is Olivier Pla behind the wheel of the Meyer-Shank Racing Acura. Olivier, who has how many starts at Belle Isle, you might ask? That would be one. Back in 2014, wow. He finished third in that race for Oak Racing. So we're going way back, but that was another pink and black car. They're pretty good to him. For Mazda, it's Tinks, Harry Tinknell, doing the qualifying duties for this car. And it has been 2 years since Mazda has raced on a street course the last time. Was here because that was the final street course opportunity that we have had for these runners and riders. We've got two cars left, and they have been two of the fastest Cadillacs this weekend. Chip Ganassi's name is over the door for the 01 machine, where he's just climbed over the wall and tapped his driver to say good luck. And who is the driver? That would be K-Mag's Kevin Magnussen, who his first trip to the streets of Belle Isle has been very rapid around this place. Clearly, Dad gave him a couple of tricks of the trade because his dad, Jan Magnussen, got a win back here many, many years ago. And the final car that we've got, it is none other than Mustang Sampling. And for that car, Tristan Vaudier doing the qualifying duties. His teammate, Loic Duval, another one of the rookies here to the race this weekend. But Loic is going to be doing the finishing duties. The Cadillacs have been fastest in each of the practice sessions so far. Can they keep that streak going, or does the Mazda or either of the Acuras have a trick up the sleeve?
Got to say a big thank you to Tyler Norling and the rest of the IMSA technical team under his auspices for once again working so hard to make sure that we're connected to the very efficient public address system here. And I did say this earlier, I want to say it again while there's no cars on the track. To all of our volunteers, whether you're parking cars, whether you're flagging, I would call them marshals because that's what we say in Europe. But flaggers, corner workers, whatever, and particularly to the track services and our medical personnel, thank you very much indeed. But particularly to all of our technical personnel on the broadcast side, a difficult situation and challenging situation this weekend on Belle Isle. Not a full-time race circuit, temporary of course, and therefore just adding the odd wrinkle in here and there, and they've all done brilliantly well, whether it's getting us the pictures here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre or making sure that we can talk to the PA and to the world at the same time, which I have no idea how it works It is all black magic to me. The Mazda number 55 prototype sitting in pit lane at the moment, ready to go. And a beautiful day with track temperature getting up towards 50 degrees Celsius now. That is going to be really working the Michelin tyres very hard indeed. 30 degrees Celsius. Forecast for that across the UK and Europe over the weekend, which is due for another heat wave. Very hot last weekend in Europe, but not at the Nürburgring 24 hours that we were covering. And the good news, if you're an endurance sports car racing fan, is that on Sunday across the RSL channels, we will have the 8 hours of Portimao from the Autodrome International du Algarve. And that's all after we have finished our endurance racing weekend. Bruce Jones, Johnny Palmer joining or bringing you the coverage of that. That'll be on RS1 across the weekend. So we are underway with 15 minutes of final qualifying session. One shot showdowns here. Not once, one car at a time. You've still got to find the bit of circuit that suits you the best. The Konica Minolta Cadillac, the bright blue and gloss black number 10 car goes out with Ricky Taylor behind the wheel. And what a record they have here on the streets of Belle Isle. Bringing the Michelin tyres up to temp. Around the first part of the circuit. And then heading around to the back of the track. Just taking things easy, getting a bit of heat into the tyres. Following behind the number 60, Olivier Plat, the Mershank Racing with Kerb Agajanian. That's the pink and black car, Auto Nation XM Sirius on that machine. Once again, thanks to Roger Keith and all of our colleagues trackside this weekend. Unusual for them. The low thrum of the Acura. And they are the only two cars out at the moment. Chip Ganassi, Mustang Sampling, Whelen Engineering and Mazda all keeping their powder dry or perhaps cool at the moment. So, Jeremy, this is interesting. Only two cars out at the moment as Kevin Magnussen just rolls out as well. 12 and a half minutes left to go. Are we seeing this then with this temporary circuit as a one and done, or do we think more than one lap is possible on these Michelin tyres?
Oh no, I think more than one lap should be quite feasible around here. I don't think it is pretty warm certainly this afternoon, but I would expect them to be doing as many laps as they can. All the cars are out on track now. The only one that hasn't completed its out lap is Kevin Magnussen, but I think he's in the final section right now. So, no, I think this should be a kind of normal session. I think it's going to be really quite interesting. Actually, K-Mag this morning was super impressive. The final lap of the session, he went to the top of the charts in the second of the practice sessions for K-Mag. Pretty impressive. First time here, obviously. He and Renko van der Zander, they've been super fast in all the races this season. They've got fastest laps of the race in each of the last two. And they are looking, though, to get it all, pull everything together and get a race result that is really as commensurate with their speed.
So 11 and a half minutes to go. IMSA Radio, IMSA TV, full live coverage of the Chevrolet Sports Car Classic tomorrow. Audio around the world and around the track. No blocks, no breaks. If you are in the US, NBCSN has the coverage. If you're in another territory that doesn't have a Network TV deal, then you'll get full live uninterrupted coverage via the live video tab on imsaradio.com, the home of all things IMSA. A little bit of a slide for Pipo Durrani. Is he trying a little bit too hard as he came through turn three? Barely ran up onto the blue and white curb, but the back end was looking a bit feisty there on that wheel and engineering Cadillac, Jeremy Shaw. Now down into turn seven, but that doesn't look like the car's cooperating with Durrani there.
No, that was a bit of a sideways moment there. I think he had to jam on the brakes there and kind of do a sort of second take to get that car into the corner, John.
Yeah, agree, totally. Top of the stack at the moment, Tristan Vautier for Mustang Sampling. He's just gone through the start-finish line in a 1:22.465, 1:22.465. That's a full half a second quicker than Durrani. Then Ricky Taylor for Conyngham Minolta Acura. Then Ollie Platt for the Acura of MSR. Then Kevin Magnussen. Then Harry Tinknell. Mazda just taking their time at the moment. A couple of seconds away from the best time. Mustang Sampling with a little bit of a time gap then, Jeremy, to the rest of the field. And Harry Tinknell from back to front, from Omega to Alpha, and the 55 Mazda goes quickest with a 21.2. Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, a fair bit of time yet to come. The quickest time this morning, a 1:20.068 for Kevin Magnussen. That compares, by the way, the race lap record was set last time here, 2019, by Felipe Nasr, and a 1:20.9. So already this morning in the second session, almost a full second quicker than that. But the lap record stands at Juan Pablo Montoya, also set in 2019, 1:19.373. We'll have to see whether that comes in under any threat.
Wow.
As Tristan Vautier in car number five, the Mustang Sampling Cadillac, goes to the top. That car's been quick here right from the beginning of the first practice session this morning. They've really got a handle on this car now. It's struggled. The number five team has struggled over the last couple of years, but some engineering changes over the winter. They had the brilliant effort at Sebring, of course, where they completely destroyed the car during the race. I mean, hit just about everything that's possible to hit and ended up winning the race quite remarkably. But there it is. It was briefly fast, and now Pipo Durrani back to the top of 1:20.4. So time's tumbling down now. I expect it to do so over the course of the next 8 minutes in the session.
Seems to me, and I look, I'm of a certain age, so my recollections are not always gospel, I'm afraid, but it seems to me that we've qualified slightly later on in the day in the past. I remember talking to people back in Europe and it's been a little later. What have we got? It's half past 10 in Central Europe at the moment, half past 9 near enough, 9:30 in the UK, but it's very, very hot at the moment. No wind to talk about. Durrani back to the top in the Whelan Engineering red and white number 31 Cadillac. And
the three Cadillacs, John, separated by 0.065 of a second at the moment.
Yeah, well, there's clearly some kind of manufacturer favouritism being played there, isn't there, Jeremy? I say that with tongue firmly in cheek, ladies and gentlemen. Those are all manufacturer supported, but of course, private teams running those Cadillac DPIs, as now are the two Acura DPIs. So it's three Cadillacs on home ground, ahead of the Mazda, and then the two Acuras, just about 1.75 seconds, spreading the field of six cars at the moment. Durrani comes through to finish another lap. Through goes Kevin Magnussen, and his best lap, a 1:20.7. He's coming through to complete another lap now, and goes to the top. Kevin Magnussen then, the former Haas Formula One, former Haas Formula One driver, his teammate Romain Grosjean here this weekend, erstwhile teammate, of course, here this weekend. I wonder if his dad, Jan, has been telling him anything about this circuit, although Jan wouldn't have raced on it too much because of that Le Mans clash, of course, down in the years. And Vautier goes straight back to the top. So it's still Cadillac, Jeremy, but we're shuffling the pack of Cadillacs here.
Yeah, it's tremendous stuff. Vautier, his first experience on this racetrack, or at least some of it, was in 2012 when he drove the Indy Lights race here. Again, that was on the shorter track. He finished fifth in that race and went on to win the championship in Indy Lights that season. But Vautier back to the top then, a 120.115.
And a problem.
20.161 for Durrani. Oops.
And Mustang sampling. That is the number five, Tristan Vautier. In the wall, yellow flags being waved. I think, Jeremy, that's at turn three, isn't it? At the end of that long straight, turn four, yeah, 3-4 area. So in between three and four, Vautier's reversed out, but he's deranged the tyres. Now, at the moment, we're still under green, but I think... Well, we've had enough time to make this a legal session. And Vautier's got away with that with a bit of bodywork damage. There's a bit of Michelin tyre smoke coming from a bit of tyre rub. Oh, no, sorry. Take that back, Hindhoff. Hindhoff, who never proclaimed to be a suspension expert. But that was quite a hard hit. The short shoot between rear left Michelin on the grass before... He turned in for four. Vautier then. Michelin tyre is very good indeed, but not meant for rallycross. And a sideways slam into the tyre stack at the just beyond the apex of turn four. I got it. I don't got it. And there's going to be a wee bit of work to be done, but plenty of time, of course, for Mustang sampling. Cadillac, Chip Ganassi, Magnussen back to the top. Now, is that because the time has been taken away? Or did that actually happen, Jeremy?
It did. Tingle went to the top very, very briefly in the Mazda. And then seconds later, before the red flag came out, Magnussen pipped in by 0.021 of a second.
Wow.
Boy, how close was that? Interesting to me that Olivier Plas so far off the pace is... so far off the pace, he's 1.4 seconds down.
Well, he's 1.1 seconds away from the next car.
That's right. Yeah, it's remarkable. Then Ricky Taylor, who's got a huge amount of success here in the past. I mean, Cadillac, you talked about Cadillacs having had a lot of success here. Cadillacs always shine on these street circuits. The same as Long Beach. You know, it suits the torque of these V8 engines getting off the corners on these racetracks. So this is just a track that suits them. Last time out, we were at Mid-Ohio. That's a track that suits the Acuras and the Mazdas. Well, here it's definitely in favour of the Cadillacs, and they're taking full use of it to get that car in the pole position. Because last year, it was a bit of a spanner in the works there, because it was the Acura of JPM and Dan Cameron that took the victory here 1 year ago. This has kind of broke up that domination by the Cadillac stroke Chevrolet before them. And Wade Taylor raced, by the way. Shane talked about the fact they won three of the races here since the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. They also won the final year of the Grand Am back in 2013 as well, Wade Taylor Racing. That was Jordan Taylor and Max Angelelli, I think it was, back then.
Formula One and other series take note. The red flag being caused by Tristan Vautier will mean, Shane, that he loses the lap and will get shuffled back down the order. And that was the reason I asked Jeremy that, because you lose your best lap, just your best lap, for causing a red flag.
Yes, but watching the lurid spin that Tristan Vautier was pitched into, the tires that he was running on for qualifying would be massively flat spotted. And the tires that you use in qualifying are the tires that you have to start the race on. So for Tristan Vautier, even though he's losing his two fastest laps for causing a red flag in qualifying, it's sort of a moot point, because he would change the tires anyway, therefore drop to the back of the class for starting tomorrow. But as we saw in the DPI category at Mid-Ohio, three out of six cars elected to change something about from when they had qualified to when the race began, meaning that they not only dropped to the back of the class, they lost all of their points accrued for qualifying. That does make a difference, because this is a full-fledged championship race for the DPI category. Mm-hmm. So for Vautier, that spin, that crash, doubly as effective.
Yeah, check the flags come out, because there's not enough time to get restarted, losing the two fastest laps for Mustang Sampling, and Vautier pushes him back down to fifth. The Alcamel timing has already picked that up. So it will be, now, stand by, Kevin Magnussen on pole position for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing. Harry Tinknell and Mazda Motorsports will start on the outside of the front row from Pipo Durrani and Ricky Taylor as it stands at the moment on row two. Vautier and Plat on row three. Now, if you're going to change, change now. Get your changes in quickly. I'm swapping tyres. I'm swapping tyres right now, because the quicker you say I'm swapping tyres or drivers or whatever it is, the better off you are when it comes to the final reckoning, and we're in Michelin Countdown to Green tomorrow and Jeremy has to do the grid read. What a qualifying session, Jeremy Shaw. Kevin Magnussen, Chip Ganassi Racing, Cadillac on pole position on Kevin's first trip to Belle Isle.
Yeah, he's a proper racing driver, isn't he? just getting on with the job here. He'd have done a track walk with the Rega van der Zende. There was a Zoom call with some of these guys during the week, and Rega van der Zende, he's not a big fan of track walks, but he is doing them all this season, mainly so he can compare notes with Kevin Magnussen, and clearly it paid off for them on, I guess that would have been Thursday, and K-Mag there, you know, gets the job done. He was quick this morning and backed it up this afternoon. It's all super tight at the front by 0.021 of a second. That's good enough, however, for the first pole position then for Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, and another success for one of the most successful racing teams in North America, Chip Ganassi Racing. They seem to be able to turn their hand to anything. GT Racing, Open Wheelers, of course, and the Full House prototypes. You've got to ask yourself, haven't you, with BMW sort of, kind of, maybe, seeing they're coming into IMSA with LMDH in 2023, although showing a picture of a 1998 car in the most bizarre of unveilings on at the opera, in fact. It was the Jenny Holzer art car, wasn't it, that was on that. Quite bizarre. But I wonder if Chip Ganassi's in the running for an LMDH category. Chip down on the pit lane congratulating his drivers. Rega van der Zande not in his race kit, but certainly Kevin Magnussen is. He'll be at Le Mans with his father, of course, this year. Kevin with all the Magnussen hair now on head and chin. Four different meetings in Detroit yesterday is what I'm hearing from Chip Ganassi. Working as ever. With GM and a variety of others. Well, it's going to be a Cadillac on pole position for, appropriately enough, the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix at Belle Isle Street Course, Detroit, Michigan. What a brilliant qualifying session. Congratulations to all of our pole sitters throughout the classes. And we'll be back on IMSA Radio live tomorrow, uninterrupted, for the whole of the race. If you're outside the US, you'll get sound and vision on imsaradio.com. To all of our technical crew, trackside and at Charlotte, to Shea Adam and Jeremy Shaw, I'm John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel pit lane reporter. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Fast Saturday. We're racing on the streets of Belle Isle tomorrow. Join us then. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.